Blog Talk Radio.
We're a nation of haters under their control. To rise up everybody and burn down the system, fail the exit polls. Wake up the silence.
Show. We are back. It is an Alex Brown and Sailor Janelle night, so we have a great guest this week. We're really excited about it. So, how are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing quite well, except just trying to deal with this new computer. Other than that, life is great.
Well, that's good. And you've been having some problems. Sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, I just don't think myself and technology gets along. I'm going to just quit using a computer, write everything with a quill and parchment, and that's going to be it. Hello?
Hey,
hello,
Alex, are you there? Yeah,
I
got booted.
It's okay. I just got done saying I think I'm finished with technology, and then, like, this happens. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to write with parchment and quills from now on, screw technology. Then I'm like, hello?
I am totally about going to live in a cave. Like, that is where I'm at, so, yeah. That's right, you know. Done with it. Done with podcasts. Done with technology. Done with computers. Let's just all go live in caves. How about that? We'll just scratch on parchment and on tablets, and it'll be great. Tell stories around fires.
Yeah, but we have to make sure we have some form of way where we can keep up with Supernatural. Just saying.
Oh, that's true. Never mind. I'm missing that tonight, too, by the way. That's how much I love you guys. It's a new episode tonight.
Well, we love
all right.
You, too.
Yeah. Better. Anywho, so before we get to tonight's awesome guest, what are you reading, Alexander Brown?
Well, I have finished up with State of Horror, Illinois, and it was actually quite a bit more than what I anticipated. Each of the stories was a good throwback to old school horror, and it had a great feel to it that brought out the state itself. I've never been to Illinois, but I kind of feel like I have been now that I've read this book, despite there was blood and guts all through it. But, you know, I feel like I've been to the state now. But, pretty
that's
much
cool.
I
grew up in Illinois, and I can assure you that there is blood and guts all through it, so it's a great experience.
Yes. Well, no.
That's a Thursday. What are you talking about?
That kind of makes me want to stay away now, but I'll probably
no, I'm kidding.
There.
I'm kidding. It's actually a lovely state.
Also, since I finished that, I went on and jumped on to a classic. It is Nightmare at 20,000 Feet by Richard Matheson. It's the story that inspired the Twilight Zone episode with the gremlin on
right.
the wing. Yeah, and pretty much it's that story, and it has like maybe about 15 other stories in it, but I'm on about the fourth or fifth story, and every single story is just getting me more and more engrossed in Matherson's style.
That's really
and
cool.
What about
I haven't read
yourself?
A lot of him.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing. He really is.
That's really cool. I've been burning through so much. I'm trying to think of what I want to talk about. I finally broke down and ordered the Courtney Crumlin series. I've got like all 7 books, and they're phenomenal. I'm so happy I bought them. They're actually graphic novels, probably from middle grade, I guess. But just like, it's a very heightened sense of awareness for a middle grade series. Like, it's all good. The art's spectacular. So I'm in love with them so much. Let's see. I'm trying to think. I'm just going blank. Oh, I started reading, or I'm almost done with this book called Man Repeller about a fashion blogger and like how her fashion choices are just apparently influenced her lack of date in life, and it's spectacular. It's fabulous. It's a fun little nonfiction read. So I'm enjoying that a lot too.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a book recommended to me today, and it was nonfiction, but it actually sounded pretty interesting. It's
mm-hmm.
called The Widow of the South, and pretty much it is a nonfictional book about a lady who had opened up her home kind of as a funeral parlor during Civil War times. And
nice.
That's pretty much the only description I received on it. I don't know if it's going to be something that's grim, or if it's going to be something
right.
that is historic and grim, or just grim by itself. But pretty much I'm going to give it a shot.
That's really
cool. As soon
cool.
as I finish the Matherson book.
Yeah, I've got a stack of things I need to finish up. And I've finally, gosh, going from one extreme to the other, the Red Book by Jung came in to the library, the reader's version anyway. They're not going to let me have the full version. But that came in, and I'm so excited. I love Jung, and I'm such a geek, and I just cannot wait to dig in. I'm reading his autobiography right now. So the Red Book, though, is like the big, mega, weird, all about like kind of his active imagining and collective subconscious or unconscious. And I can't wait. I cannot wait.
Well, with that said and done, I think it is time to see this reading and also introduce her. Would you like the honors or?
Sure, whichever.
Okay.
Before that, yeah, let me just say, www.enterTheImaginarium.com, because otherwise I'll forget. If you guys want a great reading and writing experience this fall, October 7th through 9th, if you're interested in genre stuff, if you're interested in writing, if you're interested in the business of writing, if you just want to get some new books, if you know you just want to hang out with some cool people, this convention in Louisville is where it's at. So you definitely should check out that address and plan to be there. So with that in mind,
yeah, we'll
now,
be there. So hang out with us.
Yeah, exactly. And this guest was here the first year of Imaginarium because we did panels together and it was a lot of fun. She does a lot of really cool literary fiction and some shorts and anthologies, and she's got some pulp stuff that's just amazing. I love doing panels with her because she keeps me on my toes about fandom, and especially fandom from an academic sense. And I love that. So I'm really, really happy that Andrea Judy could be here today. So yay, Andrea.
Yay. Well, I'm super excited to be here. And when I went to Imaginarium last, I actually sold an essay while I was there to a publisher. So business
That's
happening
awesome.
Right there in, you know, in the bar.
Exactly. That's how you do it.
It is.
Congratulations.
I have seen
authors be able to sell their work at Imaginarium more so than what I have at other conventions.
Yeah.
And I'm
I signed a contract there
perhaps,
last year for stuff.
I'm speculating perhaps it's because it is geared towards the literary side of arts. And, I mean, of course, you have talents there that are already established, such as Andrea Judy and other people. And it's a good place to say, well, yeah, I've worked on this, and you have publishers that are, well, we have an opening. So it's a good thing.
And
even if,
other stuff,
Yeah, and even if you're new, even if you haven't published anything yet, it's a good place to go in and, you know, drop your hook into some water.
Dear, I think, I don't know about this year, I think so. I know last year Michael Nost, who's like head of the mentor program for HWA, like he did a workshop last year about different skills. And I mean, Tim Wagoner, he's done a lot, did a workshop last year. So we just have some really great people. Brian Keene is guest of honor this year, so it's going to be cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about meeting him. And speaking about being excited about meeting people, let's see. I am going to have the opportunity to, go down to BayouCon coming up in about a month or two, and I'm going to try to rub elbows with the dude from Ghostbusters, that played as Dwayne. So hopefully, hopefully maybe.
Very exciting.
That's awesome. Good for you, dude.
I just hope that it's the right con that I mentioned. I have so many coming up. It should be. Wait, what?
Shut up. I hate you.
Yeah, the conventions in Memphis always get me because they're always at the same hotels. And so I can never remember, well, was it Memphis Fantasy? Was it Mid-South? I don't. It was in Memphis. I cannot tell the two apart when I'm trying to remember where something happened.
The best thing to do is just say Memphis, sum it up.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, what are you reading, Andrea?
Well, I have just finished up reading a book that's not out yet. It's Grey Widow's Walk from Dan Jolly that's coming out from Seventh Star. I've just finished reading it for like the millionth time, and I love it, and I can't wait for it to be out on the 13th, so I'm super stoked. And then after
that,
it's so good. Oh, I can't wait. And after I finished that, I started to read. It's called Real Artists Have Day Jobs and Other Awesome Things They Don't Teach You in School. And that's by Sarah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sarah Benincasa. I probably am saying that wrong. I'm sorry. But it's amazing and hysterical. It's like one of the best books about writing and just life that I've read in forever.
That's awesome. I am going to have to bookmark that right now.
Yeah, it just
came out
yesterday, I think, and it's incredible. She talks a lot about her own struggles with anxiety and depression and, you know, what helps her and her general writing process and ideas, and it's really funny.
That's awesome. Oh, I love stuff
so
like that.
Super recommend both of those.
Yay.
All right. I got that wrote down for a future reference. Well, tell you what, if everyone's ready, how about we kind of just dive on into to the questions? Because the first question tonight is going to kind of lead into what you were just speaking about. What authors do you read?
Oh, gosh. I've really been on a big nonfiction kick lately, which has been kind of weird. As far as fiction goes, I love Delilah Dawson, or she also writes under Lila Bowen, and her Wake of Vulture series is amazing, like gender, queer, weird Western. It's awesome.
Wow.
And then I love Gwenda Bonn. Her Lois Lane books are... It's one of the books that I have to say I started reading it and then I sat down and just didn't get up again until I had finished the book.
That's awesome.
That was amazing. And I'm not even a huge like Superman Lois Lane person, but those are the most recent authors I've been reading. I love Lisa Minetti. She writes a lot of horror and she's one of my favorite authors. The Gentling Box is incredible. And I don't know. I've been into comics lately, so I've been reading some Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Nice. Have you read Finder? Have you gotten the Finder yet? You need to. Oh my gosh.
You will very much appreciate
Finder. So, and then we can talk about it.
My to-be-read pile. Oh, the ever-growing to-be-read pile, right?
Yeah, no. I realized as I was cleaning my bookshelf out the other day that, like, half of my bookshelf is my to-be-read pile.
Yeah, I was just looking at mine as I was trying to mention books I had been reading and authors that I like, and I was like, yeah, I still need to read that one, and, like, that whole shelf, and that whole bookcase.
That's why I've started just grabbing audiobooks more, and you and I had kind of spoke about that a little bit before we went on air tonight, but the only way I can get my mainstream books read, what the hell am I thinking about? Anyway, the only way that I can get my mainstream books read between editing and writing and reading books that aren't mainstream is by downloading onto my Audible app the monthly audiobook. So that's really been very helpful, and I'm happy to see that a lot of publishers that are indie related are starting to do audiobooks, which I believe you have an audiobook coming out with your new book as well. Is that correct, Andrea?
I think so. I know the Bone Queen audiobook came out recently, and that was a really exciting experience to get to sort of, it's like your first book being published all over again, because it's a whole new format and it's everything is new and exciting again. So that was a really exciting sort of moment. I didn't think the magic of, oh my gosh, it's my first book ever, could be replicated, and it was.
Well, congratulations. Yay. And I'm going to have to download that one from Audible as well.
Yeah, it sounds great.
That's so exciting. Oh, my gosh. All right, so think back. And now, what was the very first story you wrote, and why did you write it?
Okay, so I remember it because I found it under my bed when I was cleaning forever ago, and it was awful, so I remembered it. And it was about a little girl who was planting seeds in, like, trash bins. And everyone was like, what was wrong with you? And then the twist at the end was that she was blind.
That's awesome.
That was my seven-year-old masterpiece. I think I illustrated it. I don't remember.
If it makes you feel better, I have, like, this weird, like, pasted together book somewhere about like this tooth that didn't want to be brushed and she hid somehow in a mouth and then had to go to the dentist, and like I drew pictures of like the sentient tooth.
Oh my god,
it's phenomenal.
Well, at least y'all's was good. Mine, it was this little thing that I threw together with crayons and like binder paper, and it was like the creature one eye. And it was like this purple creature that had one eye. I guess maybe I was like thinking about one-eyed purple people eater or something. But it's like it went around eating nothing but like Reese's peanut butter cups. And that was it. It was filling peanut butter cups. So.
In high school, I did write my very first novel, though. It was awful, too. But, you know, it happened.
We should do an anthology of, like, people finding their very, very first written, like, story.
Oh, my gosh. I'm pretty sure I still have a copy of that novel somewhere. I think the you know, girl planting flowers in the garbage is long lost to the shredder.
That's awesome.
Sorry.
You know, I would read that story. I would read it, but it's like, thank you for reading. Here's your razor blade. You know, have these kids that's just picking on her. Why is that idiot planting seeds in the trash cans? And then, oh, she's blind.
Oh, man, what a twist ending, man.
See, I'm like a masochist because I post mine every now and then on my blog, like under like the tag Lost Manuscripts. So I totally, like, will do that. Like, if I find, like, little stuff I wrote for, like, school and, like, first grade for Thanksgiving, I'll post it on there for, like, the holiday and stuff, and it's phenomenal.
Oh, my God. Yeah, every once in a while I find something I wrote when I was in college or something, and I'm just like, oh, my God.
No one will see. No.
Yeah.
And trying to read over it, too, it's like there's a book that's out that will remain nameless, but I did have a book published when I was 18. It was through one of the vanity presses that they suck you dry and tell you you're published, but all they did was take your money and print you. And I'm like, all right, well, it was actually a good story, but I was like, you know, I'm going to use this as a basis and try to make 30-year-old Alex come out with it. And I told Carrie, I said, well, you know, read it aloud. I'll type it and, you know, we'll see where it goes. He read about two paragraphs. I said, that will be enough. We're done. Now, we've learned a little bit of your diverse subjects that you write about, Andrea. What subjects have you written about in just everything? I mean, what genres have you not written in, for example?
I got in trouble in my creative writing program in college because I was like, well, I want to focus in everything. And they told me I had to pick one, so I picked two and compromised, which they didn't like, but it worked. I kind of like writing anything and everything, so I've had some literary fiction and poetry published in literary magazines. I've had a couple of academic essays published, and then I've had genre fiction and pulp stories and random blog posts where I just sort of vomit my feelings onto the internet.
The way to do it. Yeah.
There's a lot.
I love that about you. I love diverse authors, and I was just talking in a thread on Facebook with this like yesterday, as people were like so like, oh, you have to brand, you can only do one thing. I'm like, no, you don't. What the no.
Yeah.
Here's a question I've always wanted to ask for someone who is as diverse as what you are, Andrea. When you are asked what kind of an author are you, do you simply sum yourself up as mostly being a fiction author who writes nonfiction from time to time, or what is the title that you give? Do you simply just say author?
Usually I'll just say author, or lately I've started to say that I write stories about kick-ass ladies. In describing my fiction, because that seems to be a theme. But yeah, most of the time I say author unless I'm in a situation where my background in academia or poetry or nonfiction will be coming into play. Otherwise, I don't bring it up because most of the time people don't really care about that sort of thing. They're more interested in the novels or the short stories.
You have a point there, because short stories, they kind of seem like they've become a lost art in a way, but they're coming back. They're really coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have been on a novel writing spree. I'm finishing up edits on the third novel I've written in about 12 months. And I'm so ready to get back into short stories.
You guys make me sick. So
you have to learn to type faster. You're gonna get eaten alive in grad school, man.
That's true. Very true.
Survival instinct, that's all it is.
I just have like this image of like you running away from a velociraptor trying to type for your life.
Well, that's exactly what writing a thesis is like. At the dissertation level, it's a T-Rex. So, you got to pick what you're running from.
Wow. I'm just sorry.
More
I like, divert my imagination from that now. Okay. So you talked about the types of subjects that you write about. So what types of characters interest you? Do you find yourself gravitating to certain types of characters, or do you just take it as the ideas come to you, or how does that work?
I don't know. think it depends on what story is being told. I mean, most stories seem to be about broken people, because if somebody's totally perfect, usually they don't have all that much interesting going on. But
yeah.
I don't know, it can be very different, you know, from a recovering drug addict to a girl in preparatory school. I don't know, each story sort of has its own needs, and the characters reflect that.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Now, I'm all for broken characters. I think those are far more interesting than the typical whatevers that, especially like in women's fiction, seem to sort of manifest.
Yeah.
To me, broken characters are just fun to write about, because in some way we're all broken. I mean,
yeah.
And I think that's the fun part about writing about broken characters, is we write about individuals who might be going through something similar to what we're going through. And I think with broken characters, one of the reasons why I like them so much is because they give the platform where you can empathize or sympathize with them much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of your work sits nicely in the pulp genre. What attracts you to that style?
So the answer is, it was the first thing I was hired to write.
Okay. That's awesome.
I got approached to join in a pulp anthology and spent about 2 hours frantically Googling what is pulp, what is new pulp, new pulp plus definition. Scrambling through Google to try and figure out some semblance of what in the world. And then I said, yes, of course I will write the short story for you. And then I did, and it went well. And I found that I enjoyed writing the sort of more action-focused things after years of only writing literary fiction.
That's one way to get into it.
I know, I always feel weird saying that, but yeah, if that opportunity hadn't shown up, I don't know if I ever would have, you know, signed up to be like, I'm going to be a pulp writer, because I had no idea what it was until I was approached for an anthology.
Well, I think that's good to talk about, though, because, I mean, like, I don't think people realize, like, a lot of it is, like, I know I'm sure you guys, too, have gotten approached by people, like, things that I'm not, maybe not necessarily would submit to, and, like, I don't know, an editor friend or whoever will suddenly be like, hey, you're sending me something to read, right? Right?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, I am? Okay.
Really?
So, yeah, I've definitely had those moments of frantic Googling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just like Google fooing into the night.
Yeah, that's kind of how it was when I was asked to write my first steampunk story. This was me transitioning from being an author who paid to get published as an author who was being paid to get published. And so it being my first piece where I was receiving money for it, I was like, yeah, I want to do this. It's not my style, but I'm going to push myself, and I do want to do this. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can write a steampunk story. That's no problem. Yeah, sure. I get off the phone. I'm like, what the hell is steampunk?
Yes, exactly.
Word. Oh, my gosh. So with all the different things that you do write, what is one genre that you would not write?
Probably Christian inspirational, just because I don't read it. I mean, like, anything that I write, I pretty much read, and I just don't think that I would know that genre well enough to write anything for it unless someone was like, here is $1 million to write a 500-word thing. Then I would, you know, figure it out, but it's not what I read. It's not my thing, so that's the only thing that pops into my mind that I would have to really, like, consider hard if I was going to write or not. And I think the answer would be no in 99% of those cases.
You know what? I'm going to go in and say this. It's probably, you know, I don't think it will offend anyone. I mean, not our listeners anyway. When I worked at the bookstore, in Vicksburg, a lot of what sold was a Christian romance, and it had like all of these very Amish looking people on the front of the books. And it's like, my assistant manager was like, well, would you write a book about Christian romance if you were paid a lot of money? I'm like, yeah, of course I would. How hard would it be to write as she took off her bonnet?
You have not, I will say you have not lived. You need, I'll have to send you a couple titles because I accidentally checked them out and then I got into reading them. It was such a culture shock to me. You need to read Christian horror. It's pretty amazing.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Actually,
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah,
oh,
Ted Decker.
We
really
will talk
good.
Later. Cause, oh.
Okay, yes. Yes, I need to be educated about this.
Ted,
yes,
Ted Decker is about the only horror Christian author and enjoyed. He's really good.
Okay. I don't know if I read him. I just know, like, I checked out one, and, like, I didn't realize what it was, so I was, like, halfway through, and I was like, what is going on? But...
Oh, another genre I don't know if I could write would be, like, that dinosaur erotica.
I was just going to,
I don't know.
Oh, my God. This
I don't
is,
know.
Like, so
I don't
fantastic.
Know if I could do it. I don't know. I think I could, but I don't know.
If it wouldn't be under your name, would you do it?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can get nominated for a Hugo for it.
Exactly. Obviously,
yeah,
we're
I mean,
in the wrong line of work.
People's up for a Hugo. I'm in the wrong line. Yeah. Like, I'm right.
Yeah.
Dino erotica is the future of sci-fi.
It is.
All right.
Definitely.
I came across something today, and speaking of erotica, it just blew my mind. I'm like, all right, I've seen it all now. What's becoming big is, I saw this on Facebook with the whole little image and article and stuff, is they're starting to do erotica based around men who are pregnant.
Oh, that's old, dude.
That, yeah, like, they're like, really?
That's
fanfic
trend.
Oh, my God.
Impreg
dude,
is,
dude.
That's
We've
old
been in
news.
The fanfic trenches. Impreg is totally not new.
Well, I was going to say, if you have been where
sheltered.
We have been, dear.
Oh, my God.
You have been to the parts of the internet that we frequent. You will know that is a
we
common tag
things,
on fanfic.
We have seen things, Alex. We have seen things. Yes.
I, it's like, all right, when I go to a con, I think that's, okay, this is where I'm going to see the last of everything that's going to just say, all right, I've seen it all. Then I turn on to Facebook, and there's, like, some pregnant guy, and it's showing that it's becoming erotica, and I'm like, what? What the hell?
And I love how this surprises neither me or Andy.
No, we're
I'm
all
right.
Like,
it's,
yeah.
Like, I'm like, damn, maybe I should start reading fan fiction. I don't read fan fiction. Maybe that's the problem. Oh, my God.
We are terrible people, Alex. What can I say?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, for everyone else out there who is aware of the Preggers Man porn, that's what I'm going to call it, the Preggers Man porn. I'm sorry I've been living under a rock, but I am out from under that rock now.
Oh,
you've
man.
Been embraced by the light of man pregnancy. Congratulations.
I'm like crying over here, you guys. I love you too.
What's really beautiful is I'm like 97% sure my mother is listening to this tonight. So this is amazing. Hi, Mom. I love you.
Hey.
Hey. So, when did you realize that you were destined? Oh, man. Ooh. So when did you realize you were destined to be an author, and is it everything you thought it would be? And if so, how is it alike, or how does it differ?
See, I don't know if there was ever a time when I didn't realize I wanted to be an author. Like, I feel like I just, like, came out into the world with my umbilical cord strangling me, like, what up, I'm an author. Like, I don't know, it's all I've ever known or thought about. And, you know, like, I'm sure most people, when you're, like, in middle school, high school, you're like, man, the second you publish a book, you're, like, a millionaire, and you live in a mansion, and your book gets made into a movie. No, it's not real life. that was a cold, hard shock. But,
yep.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I'm kind of figuring it out as I go, like most people, I suppose, that have wound up in this field.
Totally, totally understand.
Yes. Well, let's talk a little bit about your blog. Your blog is your journey as an author. How does someone start out to decide what best path is there for them? I mean, there's so many publishing options, so how did you figure this is the road I need to be on?
Well, my path started, I guess, in high school when one of my English teachers told me that I had to enter this contest that was going on. And I wrote something I thought was great, and I sent it to her, and she told me it was awful. So to spite her, I decided that I was going to write the most pretentious story I could using every single vocabulary word we were using that week. So I was the regional winner in the contest with my pretentious piece of all of the vocabulary words of the week. And that was, I suppose, my first accepted thing. And then when I went to college, it was incredibly literary focused. So I really only considered literary magazines and things for, I don't know, until about a year into after I graduated, when I went to Chattanooga in Chattanooga. And that sort of is, I guess that's probably where my author journey started, because I met a lot of the people who would go on to help me figure out where to get published and sort of guide me along the way. So, I don't know, there's so many different paths, but I always suggest people, especially if you're going into genre fiction, to go to conventions of that genre, because most of them have writing tracks, and most of the writers are really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And you will learn so much that way, because I learned nothing useful in my Bachelor's of Creative Writing program. I learned nothing useful. I've learned so much from just going to conventions.
Yeah. I will say that, like, I don't have a background, but, like, when I first started submitting, it was much more the literary scheme of things, or, like, much more of that kind of mindset with market books and things. And, yeah, it was really educational to start going to conventions and really talking to people.
Yeah, it was like, oh, I'd never even considered that. Those are the books I read. Why am I not writing that?
Definitely. So with all the things that you have written, have you ever written something that felt forced, and how do you rectify that, or what do you do about it?
I don't know. I mean, my thesis. my thesis was 10,000
words. That's only
because
you have a velociraptor chasing after you.
I know. Well, that one was a mess because I started out wanting to write about fandom and was denied, and then my topics kept getting denied until I ended up with one that I was only sort of happy with. So the whole process was like pulling teeth, and every possible disaster happened along the way. You know, there were like floods and earthquakes blocking my path from the velociraptors the whole time. So it was that's the thing that pops into my mind as being the most forced. I'm sure there are some fiction pieces somewhere, but whatever they are, I don't remember them anymore.
Well, let's see here. How about I throw this one at you? Have you ever written something that felt forced? If you did you finish it? And how did you get through it?
With lots of caffeine, chocolate, and liquor. Again, like the thesis is the only thing I can think of that really was just the most forced process. I would reward myself with an episode of Hannibal is how I got through that. If I would write 1,000 to 2,000 words, and then I could watch an episode of Hannibal and have some tea. And that was how I got through it.
And so now that Hannibal is no longer on the air, what is your fallback plan?
I know. Well, what I've been starting to do is when I get home from work, I sit down and I try to do at least, I don't know, either 1,000 words or an hour or whatever happens first before I can eat dinner. So I'm a super food motivated person. So sometimes that works, and sometimes I just say, you know what, screw you, self. We are having pizza, and I don't care. But, you know, writing life, it's all about balance.
Awesome. Now, I know you, I'm very, God knows I'm food motivated, so I'm right there with you. Yeah, heck yes. So obviously, your knowledge about that fandom, how did you start, you know, kind of walk us through how you started looking at fandom as more of an academic or intellectual thing? And these days, you know, there's a lot of, you know, obviously Harry Potter fans, Supernatural fans, there's a lot of give and take with fandom. So do you feel like authorship is more of a give and take with those kinds of stories, or does an audience still follow where an author leaves and they can just suck it up if it's somewhere they don't like? Or what's an author to do about that?
Yeah, that's a, I don't know, that's a big question, because there are so many ways it can go, and so many, the relationships between fans and creators has evolved mm-hmm. so quickly with the advent of the internet. Wow, the calendar. Yeah, let's really go back. Now that the calendar's in effect, man, and people know when the episodes come on, you're in trouble. The internet, it's really changed sort of the access level. Oh, I completely derailed myself now, because I'm just going to keep snickering about calendars.
I'm going to get you an advent calendar for Christmas.
Yes. Okay. So fans have a lot more access to creators, and also creators have a lot more access to fans' reactions, which I guess can be, in some cases it's been maybe a good tool. And you know, recently with the 100, I believe it was, Lexi, a lesbian character, was killed off in an absolutely lesbian woman killed off trope, you know, right after she had gotten her happily after. And there was a huge backlash on that, and that sort of prompted a lot of creators to sort of stop and say, okay, wait a second, are we doing that? Which I think is good. But in other cases, I can't imagine how difficult it is to be the creator of something insanely popular. Like, I know, say, like, you and I have talked about Welcome to Night Vale.
Oh, yeah.
you know, and balancing that level of focus and people caring about your product and your creation that much.
Well, especially
when it's
marketed as, like, to have that sense of inclusion, which is good. I mean, I think that's awesome. But from a creator point of view, I could also see where, you know, especially in the days of fan art and fan fiction, and because so much of Night Vale is not totally described, you know, that kind of is a really big gray area that's a little frightening, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you know, they've recently branched out into other forms of medium there, with recently the book, and now they have a second podcast that's not, it's not in the Night Vale universe, but it's sort of set with that same tone. So it's, I don't know. I don't know if there is a right or wrong way to do it, but I think that there needs to be lines established, and that there needs to be respect on both sides of that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, as far as an actual, that's a really big topic.
No, I know. This is I really want to, like, I want us to, like, do something with this at some point, because I love that we can talk about this. You're, like, one of the few people who will have this back and forth with me about stuff like this.
Yeah, like, I remember I was in a class about pop culture, and I read Henry Jenkins, who is, like, the academic fandom godfather, I suppose. And it just, like, I was like, wait, you mean you can actually study this as, like, a thing? Why am I not in that class? I have chosen my major poorly. Yeah, but yeah, the ability of the pop of the culture being able to interact with the creators and influence, and also just the level of creativity and power fans have now to create, is just, it's insane. I mean, they come up with complete movies.
Yeah.
You know, so
exactly.
It's,
oh yeah.
It the dynamic is rapidly shifting, and I kind of feel like we're in a transitional period. And nobody quite knows exactly where we're going to land yet.
Well, I mean, Simon & Schuster just like, I don't know if it's out yet, but, like, they're doing an actual RPF anthology. I don't know how they're pulling that off.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how the property rights on that are working.
Yeah, that's...
And then, you know, there's a lot of questions of what, you know, when it's officially sanctioned, it goes from being fanfic to canon.
Right.
You know, which is an interesting shift. So, like, I was in the Jim Henson Dark Crystal contest, and it was weird because I was entering a contest with Penguin that would basically write your best fanfic set in this universe.
Right.
You know, and it's an interesting place
to
be where you're
like
sort
of... Yeah. Well, then you have, like, the Star Wars EU, which is suddenly made non-canon because of, you know, business dealings. I mean, it's just a very strange time.
Yeah, and I mean, like, even in movies, there are so many remakes being made and less original properties sort of showing up.
Right.
So it's very interesting time with as far as, like, fandom and repurposing of work goes.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see what the next, you know, 15 years end up looking like.
Oh, Lord.
I know.
Cool.
I'll tell you what, one thing that I'm curious about with everything that you've achieved, and let's exclude the first time you ever got published. Let's exclude how you felt when your audiobook was released. What has been your favorite experience as an author?
Oh, that's easy. It was in Memphis, because I don't remember which convention it was at. And it was, I think it was my very first time being a guest at this one. So I was super nervous, and, you know, I was on the panel, and I was really shy and quiet because I didn't feel like I had anything to add as a new author. And, you know, afterwards, a lot of people came up to get their book signed by the other people on the panel, and I was packing up to leave, and someone came up and was like, oh, my gosh, you're Andrea. Oh, my God, I loved The Bone Queen. Will you sign my copy? And it was, like, the best moment of my life. It was amazing. And then that's continued to happen. I was in Chattanooga this year. I was at the Crazy Wild, where the whole first floor of the hotel is a party place, with one of my friends. And this kind of tipsy girl crashes into me and starts apologizing and then immediately knows who I am and what I've written. And it was just so surreal and cool. And, you know, you feel like a little baby celebrity for like 3 seconds and then you realize that nobody else really knows who you are, but that's okay.
But those 3 seconds are awesome, dude.
Those 3 seconds are the best.
They really are. They really are. And it's like when I go to a convention, I feel like a superstar. Then I come home and I go back to my day job, and I'm like, yeah, back to being nobody.
Pretty much, yes. That is exactly what happens.
Oh, my gosh. So with all that in mind, what upcoming stuff can we expect from you?
Well, I have a book... a short story in a collection called The New Deal that'll be out sometime soon-ish. I don't have an exact date for it yet. And then I'm in the charity anthology to raise money for helping creative people deal with depression. I have an academic essay in that about the troubling linkage of madness and creativity in just language. I feel like there's something else I'm forgetting, but I have forgotten it, clearly.
You'll remember it at about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, I'm doing another charity anthology to raise money for LGBT groups in North Carolina.
Awesome.
That's right. That's awesome.
Those are the things that I think I have upcoming most frequently. And then I'm going to start querying for agents here, hopefully, in the next month or two.
Yeah. Good for you.
That is something I have yet to figure out how to work as an agent. I've kind of dived into it a little bit, but I haven't done it too much.
Yeah, well, if you have any questions, I'm happy to chat about it. I've been doing a lot of research, and I've gone to several conferences where I've pitched agents like face-to-face, which is both terrifying and not as terrifying as you would think. Like, I didn't burst into flames or anything. so, yeah, it's, I don't know, I would like to see my stuff in a bookstore and, you know, published by a big guy one day. So, for me, I'm going to go the agent route. This will be the third novel that I've queried.
Cool.
So, woo!
Well, hey, it all just takes time and work.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is time and work and really thick skin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. Well, what upcoming conventions can we expect to see you at, or libraries or bookstores?
Well, the only one so I'm going to be in Con Carolina on June 2nd through the 4th. It's my first year going, and I've heard really good things about it, so I'm very excited about it. And then I'm at Dragon Con because I live in Atlanta, so it would be silly to not.
Yep, might as well.
Yeah, I'm like, I just have to take the train in every day. Like, that's not too bad. And I work, like three blocks away.
Darn, I have to go to Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Darn it.
But, yeah, like, I mean, I seriously work within three blocks of the main hotel, so it's super convenient.
That's awesome.
And I think those are the only ones I for sure have on the books. My day job is kind of short-staffed, so we're not getting so much time off, and so we'll see. Hopefully we get new people soon, and maybe I can make it up to Imaginarium this year, but we shall see where the dice fall.
Right on.
Well, as we are wrapping up into our last 10 minutes of the show, I would just like to ask you if there is anything we didn't cover that you would like to speak about.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. We've covered so much, from velociraptors to male pregnancies. I mean, and to the invention of calendars and how they drastically changed fandom forever.
I just have this image of, like, people in togas, like, you know,
oh
Caesar
God.
And, like, everything. Like, no, I can write my slash fic and have it out on
time.
Oh, my
God. I totally ship this gladiator with that gladiator.
All right, so for people listening who have no idea what it is like to be an author with a day job, this is it. You lose it at some
point. Pretty much.
You do.
You have to check yourself. Because you know what we're people do? We, our brains, they get to a certain point, and then bam, all of a sudden
yeah,
there's pregnant men with calendars and time lapses and stuff like that.
Pretty much. That's
yep.
exactly what happens. And, yeah, I guess if you are an aspiring writer, then you will probably have a day job, and that's okay.
Yeah. Take the stigma out of it, yo. Like, it's all right. You're not a failure. You're awesome. Get that money. Work. Work to write.
I've never understood how an author who is getting out there pushing themselves, it's a shame that they have a day job. Technically, it looks like to me, it shows how hard of a worker you are. If you're working 40 hours a week, then coming home, taking care of your house duties, taking care of family, if you have a family, and then writing for an additional 20, 30 hours a week, not including editing, that's multiple jobs in one.
Right
on. Yeah, I think it was Elizabeth Gilbert. Who wrote Big Magic, and she has, like, a whole section that talks about, you know, having a
love
day job.
Book.
There is no shame in it. I know. I lent it to someone, and they never get it back. So now I have to go and find them. But, yeah, that's another great book that talks about, you know, that there is no shame in having a day job. And for a lot of – I know of several people who actually were more productive when they had day jobs before they took the leap. Because then they suddenly had all the time in the world. And nothing got done. So, no shame.
Well, as we're wrapping up, what kind of social media sites can people follow you on?
So I'm on Tumblr, Twitter, and Instagram is Judy Black Cloud. There's a running joke that my family is cursed with the Judy Black Cloud because bad luck seems to follow us wherever we go. so the name stuck. And then I'm on Facebook just under my name, and those are all the ones I'm really active on. I'm sure I have a Snapchat account, but I don't post on it.
All right. Well, pretty much I'm addicted to Instagram and Facebook. I haven't really grabbed onto the other one. Have you had any luck with Tumblr? I know some authors say that they'll use Tumblr just to post random stuff and have fun with it, and they get a good response. Have you tried that out?
I actually have a side secret Tumblr where I post fanfic, and that one is fairly popular, and I have a lot of fun with that. I have plans to one day release romance novels, so we'll see if that actually translates into sales. But for now, it's just fun. And then for a while, I was running a Tumblr blog called Real Life Posers, where my friends and I would attempt to replicate ridiculous comic book and other poses. There were so many injuries, we just couldn't handle the workers' comp anymore. we stopped doing that. I still occasionally post ridiculous poses there, but we no longer try to imitate them.
Nice.
But yeah, mostly I use Tumblr for fun more than anything else. So as far as using it to get any sort of sales, I haven't had much luck. I've posted a couple of things, and I'll occasionally get people, asking me questions. But yeah, mostly it's sharing my feelings about the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
This is why we get along, I swear. This is awesome.
I know.
So I know we've had that conversation, too.
Yeah.
If we ever do the panel at Imaginarium, Sleeping with an Author, and we show up in our pajamas, we need to have, little sleeping bags on the floor or something. And we need to be there, laying on our stomachs, kicking our feet, like how we did in the hotel room that one time, Andrea.
Oh, my
and,
God.
Just have fun with
We
it.
Need to actually have, pizza and, wine or something and just, do
yes.
a panel like that.
After dark panel.
Yeah.
And it would just be an area where we can talk about whatever we like. It might go from speaking about business for a minute to... Oh my God, I saw the coolest movie the other day.
Yeah.
No structure with it, just random crap that comes out, and just have fun.
Yeah, those have been some of my favorite panels, is when very few audience members show up, and so the panelists and I usually just go, what do you want to learn about? Ask us anything. And we'll talk. We'll just talk about writing and answer any questions they have and just sort of go around on various topics, and it's always a blast.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Well, we are down to 75 seconds now. So thank you so much for being here, Andrea. I mean, we're going to have to have you back because you're just so much fun. Yeah.
Well,
so
as
everybody
always,
needs to check her out.
Wonderful. Yes. As always, it is so wonderful speaking to both of y'all. And I hope everyone who's listening has a great night.
Yep. Have a great night, everyone. Thanks for joining us and happy reading.
Happy readings.